department individually is separate and another versus Harrisport Two Homeowners Association, Inc. James R. Creekmore, Andrew P. Hahn, Council, Kevin P. Dye, Back of the Council.
Mr. Chief Justice, Justices of the Virginia Supreme Court, may it please the Court. My name is James Creekmore. I have the privilege of being here today on behalf of Joseph and Iris Hartman. We are the appellants in a case that presents a very single, discrete issue that lies at the intersection of contract law and real property law. I hope today to do four things during this argument. First, I'd like to identify the convergence of real property law and contract law that brings us here today. Second, I'd like to walk through very briefly the definitions of the Property Owners Association Act and the Virginia Non-Stock and Stock Corporation Acts that definitively answer the question presented to the Court today. Third, I'd like to identify the problem that will exist if this Court affirms the Circuit Court's decision in this case. And fourth, I'd like to briefly touch on and address the estoppel argument that the appellees have raised in their reply. If we look at the definition of a declaration in the Property Owners Association Act, it defines a declaration as any instrument, however denominated, that is recorded amongst the land records of the county or city in which the development is located, that imposes on the association, and I'd like to bookmark that word, the association, maintenance or operational responsibilities for the common area, or creates authority in the association to impose on lot owners mandatory payment of money in connection with those maintenance duties. This Court has looked at declarations in the past, and in fact, in the recent past, 2012, the Manchester Oaks case. This Court looked at declarations and recognized, quote, a declaration pursuant to the Act is a contract entered into by all the owners of the lots and the subdivisions of government. 30 years prior to that decision, the Court said the same thing in the Bauer v. Harn case. This Court said that the relationship between the association and its members is contractual in nature. In that case, the Court looked at the bylaws of the association and said that the association operates consistent with its bylaws, but not in derogation of the covenants undertaken in the declaration, those covenants being a contract amongst the association and the members of the community. This Court in Sonoma Development in 1999 recognized that the declaration also creates common law restrictive covenants that run with the land. That requires horizontal privity between the parties to the declaration that creates those covenants that run with the land. The reason why I walk through that convergence is that all of it leads to one inescapable conclusion. You must have a legally cognizable and recognizable party to enter into a contract to undertake obligations related to real property. The Court said in Sonoma that that real property transfer in the declaration is, in fact, a transfer of an interest in land. There's an undertaking to maintain that land in exchange for the opportunity or right to collect fees for doing that maintenance obligation. And that's recorded in the county or city land records. So you need a party. That's why I asked to bookmark the definition of the word association. When you read the declaration definition in the Property Owners Association, it refers to an association. We can very easily walk through. An association is defined as a property owners association.
Let me actually ask you to take a step back even farther than where you are. You're in Title 55.
Correct.
I've pulled out 15.2 as well, the chapter dealing with subdivisions. Do you work in development?
I do not.
Okay. And I didn't really do so either, so my knowledge of 15.2 is a little bit sketchy. But what generally happens is, you know, you get your land rezoned, and then you have a proposed subdivision. The preliminary plan gets approved by the planning commission. The final plat gets approved by the locality, by the board, generally. And it is, and you've got some subdivisions that have 10 houses. That's probably essentially a ministerial act. Where I come from, up in Northern Virginia, you have subdivisions that have 2,000 or 3,000 houses. And the documents, once the final approval is given, you've then got to submit your what are called plans and profiles. You've got environmental documents. And one tiny little part of that is the declaration, which goes to the county attorney's office to get an initial. And if the county attorney initials it, then it's ready to be recorded. Now, this is happening in over a period of many, many months, potentially costing millions of dollars. Some of those large subdivisions do. And at some point during that process, a clerk walks the declaration over to the county circuit court clerk's office and pays $20 or $50 or whatever it is and records it. Under your argument, and using that as the context, when must the corporation be formed?
The corporation must be formed prior to that recordation.
Okay. What if you get the initials from the county attorney and you walk over to the clerk's office and you record that, and at the same time you then leave the clerk's office, you walk to the post office and you drop the check and the corporate documents into the mail to the State Corporation Commission? Under your argument, you can't do that.
I agree that under my argument, I would say you have to draw a bright line that when the document is signed and recorded, if the party doesn't exist, the party doesn't take under that document.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's an invalid document, because Virginia Code...
No, I got you. Now, you by necessity, in order for you to prevail, we would have to write an opinion saying that from now on, every single developer, whether it's 10 houses, 10 lots, or 10,000, when doing these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tasks, must form the corporation first, be assured that the SCC has received that document and that the corporation has now sprung into existence, and only then walk over to the clerk's office and say, here's my $50, please record. What about the thousands of homeowners associations that have already been created? Let's presume that half of them were done right and half of them were done wrong, because it's never been the requirement before. If you prevail, it's not just your case, it's not just your subdivision. By necessity, we would be declaring invalid any document that purported to create a corporation, but where the declaration was recorded before the SCC acted. Would we not?
No, you would not.
How so?
The forming of the corporation, first of all, I'll say, yes, we want to encourage people to do that first, because it takes about 15 minutes online. So if they can't do that first...
They've been doing it, though, since...
Subdivision
ordinances have been in place for...
Sure.
About the better part of 100 years.
So here's the result that we're asking for. The corporation is not deemed invalid because there's nothing wrong with the establishment of the corporation. So the corporation can exist.
Just can't take the property.
The declaration is not invalid because there is a unified owner of all the lots, the developer, who then can bind all of his lots with the declaration, and he can record that. The only thing that doesn't happen is the same thing that happened in the Dogwood case. The entity is not a valid property owner association under the Act that can manage the affairs of that community. What you're left with is, as is defined in 13.1870.2, a community association. A community association shall mean an unincorporated association or corporation which owns or has under its care, custody, or control real estate subject to a recorded declaration of covenants which obligates a person by virtue of ownership of specific real estate to be a member of the unincorporated association or corporation. This community in this case was governed for 9 years by an unincorporated association. Whether the members understood that or not is a different question. But legally, that was the effect of the entity not being created until 9 years later.
Okay. Now let me. I want to get one additional line of questioning with regard to, again, the development process. And I'm going to use a specific development that I'm familiar with in Loudoun County called Cascades. Cascades was developed by a developer named Kettler and Scott, Inc. And Kettler and Scott, Inc. did not build houses. Kettler and Scott, Inc. recorded a subdivision, various development plans, got the rezoning, did the subdivision plat, created the homeowners association, and then sold what I believe were called pods. So N.V. Ryan bought a portion of the development. Various other home builders bought portions of the development, 5 or 6 of them. But I don't know when the homeowners association was created, but I'm presuming it easily could have been after each of those home builders bought, because you generally want to get their input as well. But under those circumstances, that homeowners association, which acts like a little government, because it's got 30 or 40,000 people in there, would not be valid because of the fact that these sections of the subdivision had been sold out before the original developer put that document of record.
If there's a unity of interest amongst the property holders that are forming the entity, then it can be valid. But if there's not,
then you have
an unincorporated association, which the code recognizes can function as a community association and can manage the affairs in exactly
May I take you back to Manchester Oaks? You're relying on Manchester Oaks to say that this association has to exist in order to contract with property owners. But actually, the language from Manchester Oaks is that property owners association is a contract entered into by all the owners of the lot in the subdivision. It doesn't mention the POA.
That's correct. In the Manchester Oaks, and that was the unity of interest that I was just addressing to Justice Mims, as long as the unity of interest amongst the owners themselves can create the horizontal privity. But if the entity is named as the manager of the affairs or management of the property, the entity has to exist. It's given a property interest. It's also given a right to enforce a restrictive covenant against the lot owners. So those lot owners are transferring a burden on their property to an entity that is receiving a benefit. So we do believe that the entity must exist when that declaration is created.
Is it the privity argument?
Yes, ma'am.
But privity is created by the statute, not by the contract between the homeowners association and the homeowners. The privity is created by Section 55.515A.
That's right. There must be privity. Privity, I agree with Your Honor, it exists outside of the contract. The contract itself doesn't create the privity. There must be privity, both horizontal and vertical. But if I can fast forward to the problem, the point three that I wanted to make today, Justice Mims, if we took your example, and let's say that this court affirms the circuit court decision and says that the entity doesn't have to be created at the time of the declaration. Let's say that nobody creates the entity. They forget. This court says that's okay. It can be created later. In Virginia, a corporation has a distinct name. There is nothing that prevents an enterprising individual from going out and finding a declaration that names an entity that doesn't exist and going and creating that entity tomorrow and then sending a bill to all the homeowners in that section. Because if I went out and created Carriage Court 2 Homeowners Association, Inc. in 2010, I am the only owner of a homeowners association under that declaration, and I can then send them a bill. I could go to the bank and take off all their signatories with a resolution by me as the only corporate holder of that entity.
What about the fact that the statute requires that, or in this instance, the declaration requires that the owners be on the board of directors of the entity that's created?
Well, let's then take it back to two owners in that subdivision. They decide, we don't like the way this is going. Oh, guess what? No one created the entity. Let's go create the entity. Let's write our own resolution. Let's remove the prior board, because now our board is comprised of two of us who are owners, and we satisfy those declarations, and now we can hike the fees, and we can do different things.
Well, what about, I thought this declaration said that everyone who owned a lot there has one vote.
Well,
in basically governing the homeowners.
And that goes back to the case that says that the bylaws of the corporation can't enlarge its rights and powers beyond the declaration.
Right.
But it doesn't, but this court, if you allow what the circuit court said to stand, this court opens every potential community up to a hijack. If you find a declaration that has an entity name that is not in existence.
See, I guess I don't understand how the hijacker works when the hijacker is going to have at this board of directors everybody who lives in the community.
Well, the board can propose new things that the community members then have to fight against at all times. They have to go and vote. It's possible that you have a community as large as Justice Mims identified that you have a quorum. You can pass resolutions and things without having all of the members there.
Yeah, but you got to have the quorum. So it can't be like two guys. You got a 35,000-person community. It can't be two guys.
I recognize that and concede that, Justice Goodwin. It's simply a problem that this court would allow to exist if unincorporated entities remain named in documents and can later be formed and take over the powers. Thank you all for your time.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Kevin Otto. I represent Parish Court 2 Homeowners Association, Inc. Let me start where the discussion with appellant's counsel ended, which is this doomsday scenario. There's one very important fact that's been overlooked here, and that is the declaration states that the only members of the association are the homeowners. So I can't come in. You can't come in, none of us can come in and say, you know what, I'm now Carriage Court 2 Homeowners Association Inc., and I'm taking over, and you're all going to pay me big money. I got to be a homeowner. I got to own property to do that. And there's 10 of them, and you are exactly right. One vote for each of the 10. So this doomsday scenario that's been argued here is impossible. It's not going to happen.
The corporation was formed in 2012, am I right?
Correct.
Well, in 2008, when they bought this lot, the little government that existed when they signed on to the privity that had previously existed was a little government that did not include this corporation. This corporation did not exist. It included essentially a de facto unincorporated association. And the rights of an unincorporated association is far different from the rights of a corporation taking the title, taking the interest from the declarations back in 2003. So it seems to me the problem with your argument is not so much the point that's being initially addressed, which is whether at the millisecond of the declaration being filed, whether the ink existed on paper with the SEC, but the fact that the ink didn't exist at all when these owners bought into the pre-existing vertical horizontal privity that existed.
The corporation did not exist. That doesn't mean that a homeowner association did not exist. And the homeowner association, by statute, can be incorporated or unincorporated.
Well, the corporation didn't exist, and now the corporation is claiming to be the homeowners association. But the homeowners association that was created in 2003 was obviously not this homeowners association because it did not exist. The stark logic of the argument against your position is awful hard to defeat.
Well, our position is simply that it's controlled by statute, that you can have an unincorporated property owners association or an incorporated one. And there's nothing in the statute that says that you can't start off as an unincorporated association and then later transform to be incorporated.
How do you have an association with one guy that owns 10 lots? Don't you need more than one guy to have an association?
No. When the declaration is signed, there's often, by necessity, the declarant is the developer. He owns all the lots. Nothing's been sold. There are no others to include. If this argument is successful, how can you ever have an unincorporated property owners association? How can they declare it? Let's forget what might have happened here. Who knows? Was there oversight that somebody forgot to send in the articles? Who knows? Let's assume that you intend to to create an unincorporated property owners association at the time of the declaration.
But here, of course, we're dealing with an intention to create a corporation, right?
Did you ask if they intended to create an incorporated one here?
Right.
The use of the word Inc. might suggest that. I will say, however, that there's nothing in Virginia law that says that an unincorporated entity is prohibited from using the word Inc. The flip side is true, that an incorporated entity must use certain words like incorporated, corp, company, etc. But there is no statute in Virginia that says that you can't use the word Inc. in an unincorporated entity's name. That might seem a little illogical, but there is no statute, none has been cited by the other side.
Would you address counsel's argument that this could not have been an unincorporated entity, borrowing language from 131603, because an unincorporated entity must be a domestic partnership, a limited liability company, or a limited partnership? So he's saying it couldn't have been either. It couldn't have been incorporated because it wasn't, and it could not have been an unincorporated association. So if he is addressed that, and if he's correct, what was it?
That is what their argument is, and they do borrow from that Chapter 9 of Title 13.1. But when you read the definitional section, 13.1603, it very clearly states these are the definitions to be used in Chapter 9 of Title 13.1, which is the Stock Corporation Act. It doesn't say that these are the definitions that are included in any other law. Now, I understand the doctrine of inherent materia. We submit that doesn't apply here. These are two different acts enacted at two different times that relate to two different things. The plain meaning of 55.509 is that a property owners association can be incorporated or unincorporated, period. And I go back to the point that I was making earlier, which is, how can a declarant create an unincorporated property owners association? How do you do it? Because a corporation, it's easy. Articles of incorporation filed. An LLC, articles of organization. You don't do anything like that with an unincorporated entity. And remember, there's only one property owner, the declarant. There's not going to be correspondence, there's no bills, there's no fees. None of this happens. So if this is the law, you essentially have to rewrite the statute and can eliminate the provision in 55.509 that allows for unincorporated property owners associations. We know that there can be unincorporated property owners associations because the code tells us that.
Was there ever a moment in time when an alleged de facto unincorporated association transferred the rights to a corporation by the same name, Inc.?
You're asking in this particular case, not that I am aware of. But I say that this case was decided below on cross motions for summary judgment with not a whole lot of factual development. So I don't want to represent that never happened, but I have not seen anything that would indicate that did happen.
Now, the lot owners themselves, is this right or wrong? The lot owners themselves can, of course, enforce the covenants among themselves.
Absolutely.
So the doomsday argument on the other side of the case is equally exaggerated, isn't it? I mean, the covenants don't go away. It's just that the homeowners association can't, by vote, say we're going to double your fees, and if you don't pay it, we'll throw a lien on your property.
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, there were several admissions that were made below. Not only is what you said correct, but they're not disputing whether the other homeowners can enforce the declaration. They're stipulating for that in the argument. They agreed to that in the argument. They're not disputing whether the declaration and the restricted covenants are enforceable generally. They agreed that everything is fine under the declarations. Everything is valid. They just said, we want to form another homeowners association because we don't like who's running this one.
But who formed this one? Who formed the Inc.?
Who did the incorporation?
Yeah.
The property owners.
So just any group of property owners where they've omitted the property owner association from the get-go can get together and start their incorporation. Why can't another group start theirs?
Well, you have to be a member. You have to be an owner.
Lot owner.
So you and I can't do it. You got to be one of the 10.
Right.
And the 10 got together. This is not in the record. I'm telling you what I understand happened.
I wouldn't go beyond the record.
Okay. But
address the property issue, though. Address the real property question that appellant raises.
Which is?
It has to be a valid corporation to accept property, real property. And
well,
this is,
our answer to that is simply that the Property Owners Association can be incorporated or unincorporated. Their entire argument is you weren't incorporated on at the millisecond before the declaration was recorded. So,
right, so you really want to make an exception to general real property principles for property owners associations.
Well,
that's the effect of that.
I think it's simply just following the code that says you can be unincorporated. Just because you're not incorporated doesn't mean you don't exist.
Does this property owners association or any property owners association obtain property rights, or do they obtain duties and responsibilities, as we seem to have said in Anderson?
Well, I think that's all it is. The declaration says property owners association has all these obligations, and in this case, there are many. This is a, I don't know if it's a unique one or not, but they cut the grass, they trim the trees, they paint the decks, they put the roofs on the houses, they remove the snow, they seed the yards, they seal the driveways, they take care of the stormwater management pond. They do all of those things. In return, the lot owners agree to pay a fee and to comply with the various restricted covenants. And in fact, the declaration says that when you agree, when you take your deed, then you agree to pay the fees and you agree to keep your property in the condition that the board of directors says it should be. And so,
counsel,
yes.
Let me direct your attention to your opposing counsel's assignment of error. You have in front of you.
I do.
The circuit court erred by holding the transfer of rights to a corporate entity and a declaration of restricted covenants as any legal effect when the corporate entity does not exist at the time of the execution and recordation of the declaration. Everyone agrees that there was no corporate entity at that time. If, in fact, we were to find that you don't have to be a corporate entity to use the term Inc. And so the declaration then created an unincorporated association, then that would end the inquiry, or would it not? And then what has happened since then, whether an unincorporated association can then incorporate and turn its legal bundle of sticks over to a corporation, is really not in front of us, because that's not the subject of the assignment of error.
That's correct. That is exactly right. It's a very narrow assignment of error.
Okay.
And I'd like to, along those lines, address the estoppel issue, because, again, this case was decided below on cross motions for summary judgment. The estoppel issue, as I argued below, was a reason in and of itself to deny the partner's motion for summary judgment. The circuit court didn't reach that because of the way it ruled in granting the association's motion for summary judgment. But in their reply brief, the Hartmans argue that this court could reverse and enter final judgment. We disagree with that because the estoppel issue has not been developed at all. And the facts relevant to the estoppel issue include that these folks purchased the property in 2008. They admit they received the declaration at the time of purchase. They paid all the assessments from the time of purchase forward for about 5 years. They never complained at any point about the association being unincorporated. Mrs. Hartman actually was on the board of the unincorporated homeowners association for several years. So she's in a position of authority. She's the one of the ones who is doing what the declaration says, setting the assessment and enforcing the various covenants. All of these things are going on for years and years without complaint. They're accepting all the services that I listed before that are being provided without complaint. They continue to get those services, by the way, today. So they're actively involved. They're treating it as a valid property owners association for years. they just can't come in now and say, wait a minute, you're not valid anymore. We don't like it. We don't like who's running it. We want to form our own. That's sort of the classic approbate, reprobate, and they should be stopped. We didn't get a chance to cite it because they argued it on reply, but I'd refer the court to the case of Dickinson versus Boyd from 1935, where the court said that one can't treat a corporation as a valid corporation for years and then flip and say, well, now I don't like it. You're not valid. So you're stopped from doing that, is what this court held there. I believe I've made all the points that I would like to make. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call the next case.